this specific retreat, this time, it's unusually exciting for me. Of course, there's the pleasure of being in the association of so many devotees. But this particular retreat, I'm doing something that I really, really, really wanted to do. And I'll even tell you what it is in advance. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it well. That depends on only mercy, really, and kind participation of so many nice Vaishnavas. But what I wanted to do is make the mood of our being here, Vrindavan, just by combining three potent, emphasizing three very potent forms of devotional service, and that is kirtan and japa, and talking specifically about Krishna in Vrindavan. Now, usually we either have japa retreats, or we have kirtan retreats, or we have kirtan Krishna katha retreats in different presentations from Prabhupada's books. But I wanted to put all three together and let us, during this weekend, let us try to be very sincere and serious about going deeply into these three very potent items of devotional service in the association of devotees. Let us try to chant in kirtan very sincerely. Sincerely in kirtan, what does that mean to you?
From the heart.
From the heart. What does that mean to you?
From the
stomach.
full diaphragm, full consciousness.
Okay, full consciousness. What do you mean by full consciousness?
Meditating on the mantra.
Okay, hearing and meditating on the mantra. Sincerely. Wonderful. What does sincerely mean to you when you're chanting? There's so many different levels of sincerity. One level is also all Krishna. I've been struggling in the material world, trying to become happy, but I've turned my back on you for countless hours in this life, for countless months in this life, for countable years in this life, for countless lives. And now, even though I'm so unqualified, but please accept me as your servant. Another level of sincerity. But let us try our best in kirtan. And we'll be speaking, we won't be speaking about kirtan, as far as, are you going to be speaking about kirtan?
I'm not going to be speaking about the technical aspects of kirtan, but the yeah. Mood in the
mantra. Oh. And hearing. What does it mean to hear sincerely, full-heartedly, with full consciousness, attentively? Just trying to understand why the great souls are presenting these topics in Srimad Bhagavatam, that they're supposed to enter our heart through our ear. This is specifically, there's one wonderful verse in the third canto, ninth chapter, 11th verse, Yadyadi Yataru Urugaya Vibhavyanti Tantan Praneshi Saranugrahaya. Did you know that? That Krishna enters the heart through the ears? Did you know that? That's actually what Lord Brahma says in Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura explains. He enters the heart through our ears, and then through our ears, in our heart, we desire to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna. Krishna will reciprocate with that desire according to our desire and according to what we've heard. Now, that makes hearing very weighty, very important, very essential. So hearing japa, hearing the holy names of Krishna, the forms of hearing Krishna katha, hearing the holy names of Krishna in the form of our japa and kirtan. Krishna is so kind, because even when the temple room doors close and we can't have darshan of the wonderful forms of C.C. Radhabalava, we can chant Krishna's names at any time, at any place, with sincere consciousness, and we can be with Krishna on one level or another. This is Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nivasava Shakti Tatapita Nita Smanane Nakala Itadrasi Tarakripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaivam. What does the Durdaivam word mean in there? Huh? Unfortunate as I am, anyway, we don't want to talk about how unfortunate we are. We're trying to get some mercy from immersing ourselves in the holy name in the form of kirtan and japa. Because so much of our time, we're not in the temple room chanting Krishna's names, but we're in our own house often chanting japa. So if we can get strong in our japa, and hear about Krishna and actually become attracted to this person, this transcendental person who performs the most charming pastimes. Charming pastimes. What does that mean to you? What's another word for charming?
Attractive.
Enchanting. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. When we say that Krishna's pastimes are enchanting, what do we mean?
They captivate the mind.
And what do we mean when we say they captivate the mind? And once the mind is captivated by the form of Krishna, by the pastimes of Krishna, the names of Krishna, you can't get it back. You can't get it back. So we want to take a step forward. That's actually what the gopis said to Krishna when they came out in the middle of the night. The middle of the night in the forest of Vrindavan, where there were tigers and they had to leave their families. And it describes in the Bhagavatam, practically some of them were holding little children, babies. They took them and in Kali Yuga, that's not very rare. People do that all that kind of thing all the time. But these people were so attracted to Krishna. And then when they got to the forest and Krishna was playing his flute and he welcomed them. And he said, "Oh, thank you for coming. But why have you come? It's so dangerous here. There are tigers. There are snakes in the forest. Why have you come?" And one of the reasons, of course, Krishna had stolen their minds by his flute playing. And he said, "We've come." They said, "We've come to get back our stolen property." "We've come to get back our stolen property. You've stolen our minds, and there we are in our houses." And our minds are simply captivated, enchanted by you, your wonderful form, your wonderful name, pastimes, qualities. So we want to become attracted to Krishna. We want to become attracted to Krishna. And that is the purpose of this weekend. It's an immersion. We want to become immersed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. And one of the things we've done, we've changed the schedule from the usual schedule of retreats. We begin at 6:30. Usually we begin at later than that, don't we, for the retreats? What time?
This is the morning program.
But we're going to bring...
We will have a morning Monday at 5
o'clock. Okay.
But then the program will begin at
6:30. Yeah, you will begin speaking at 6:30. It's you. With kirtan. There'll be kirtan and Krishna Katha. Kirtan. To get the mind immersed. Because what I've seen is it takes sometimes the mind some time to be to slow down, because it's always thinking of all the things that it has to do and all the things that it didn't do, and on and on and on and on and on and on, instead of what Mani Gribapapu said about just becoming immersed in the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. So some Krishna Katha and some Krishna Kirtan from 6:30 to 8:30, and the topic of tomorrow's is becoming attracted by the sound of Krishna's name. Then prasadam. 8:30 prasadam. Then 10 o'clock to 1 p.m. not 1 a.m. but 10 o'clock to 1 p.m. How many hours is that? Very good. Without even taking out your calculator app on your iPad. 3 hours. So if we'll be chanting japa during that time, we'll be having kirtan during that time, and we're going to speak about and hear about a very charming chapter, enchanting chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto and the 11th chapter. Does anyone know that chapter? Much about that chapter. It's called Krishna's Childhood Pastimes. It's directly after, I don't want to tell you too much about it now, tomorrow. And we'll see how far we go in that. It's hard to believe that we're going to cover the whole chapter, but we'll try. Then prasadam at 1 o'clock. And then in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, now one of the humble requests we have is please come on time, please. Because what we're trying to do is become immersed, even though it's somewhat of an austerity to come on time, especially if you're from Bombay. Bombay on time means 20 minutes late. Because everyone comes 20 minutes late, so that you're on time. And you meet everyone at the door when they're coming in. But we're not going to do that. Please, we're going to ask everyone to come on time, because that we'll be missing the immersion in the kirtan if we do that. And then in the afternoon from 4 o'clock to 6:30, that's 2.5 hours, we shall discuss the second foundation of powerful japa, the first, and we'll be speaking on that in the first class, powerful japa's foundational principle. And then in the evening, so even though it's difficult to be in a place and keep your mind in the very same place where your body is, where everything is going on, it's difficult to do that. Try your best. Try your best. And becoming absorbed in the Krishna Katha, the Krishna Kirtan, and the Krishna's holy names, then our taste, we pray by the mercy of these powerful items of devotional service and the association of our lords and masters, then that we will desire to move forward in our spiritual life. Everything depends on desire. Then at 7 o'clock, there'll be just a half hour off for breathing. Go out and breathe some good cold air and get some life. And then from 7 to 8:30 there will be a dramatic reading, more kirtan, and a dramatic reading by Mataji. Becoming attracted by the sound of Krishna's flute in the morning, becoming attracted by the sound of Krishna's name in the afternoon, becoming attracted by the sound of Krishna's flute. And the next day, Sunday morning, we'll have a similar program, just the first half of it, 6:30 to 8:30 Mataji, and then 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. Hare Krishna. So it's a short weekend as opposed to a long weekend, but take advantage of it and concentrate and become immersed. Take advantage that we've come so far and become immersed in the Krishna Katha and the holy names and the different forms of japa and kirtan. That is our humble request. Now, that's the end of the first part of the introduction. Now I'm going to do something else that I really wanted to do. Hi, Valsham. Samki Mata, Samki Pita. Now, I'm going to do something I shouldn't be doing it. Does that make you want to participate in it more or less? I shouldn't be doing it, and it's somewhat arrogant for me to do it, but I'm going to show a video, and I'm in it. That's the part that I shouldn't be doing, so it's quite embarrassing for me. But it's something in a wonderful place, a most wonderful place. It's in Prabhupada's house in Sri Vrindavan Dham. It's a Leela Kirtan, the last one that we did there. And that was something that I always wanted to do a Leela Kirtan for the devotees in Prabhupada's house, just be close to Gaur Purnima. And it was so much fun. And I would like to see, it was just so nice to have Prabhupada's presence there. And in Vrindavan, talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and with that, the sweetness of Vrindavan just permeating the atmosphere in Prabhupada's house, and feeling that somehow or another Prabhupada was hearing also the leaders of Mahaprabhu, and that he was pleased. So, pardon me for showing something that externally is about me reading, but hopefully you'll overlook that part and enjoy the pastimes of Mahaprabhu read in Prabhupada's house. Raise your hand if you've been to Prabhupada's house in Vrindavan. You've never been to Prabhupada's house? But you've been to Vrindavan, but you've never been inside Prabhupada's house? Well, next time you go to Vrindavan and then you return here, you'll never be able to say, I was never in Prabhupada's house before. You'll never be able to say that, and honestly, because please go. It's so nice. Okay, you'll try your best? Okay, there's sound in this. So please forgive me in advance, but we're going to do it anyway. How does this turn off? There's a button somewhere.
Varieties of ecstasy.
Volume up. At least they got to stop when a place where I look funny. So I won't be. Krishna is so kind. Can't we turn it up from here? Okay, just let it go. And so, is it better with the lights off a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. Who remembers what I said? Who remembers what I said?
Here.
Something about wanting to see what's driving the engine, particularly the.
Mahaprabhu's going to be dancing in such an amazing way, but what type of experience is he having that's causing him to do this? That is not understandable. Okay.
The Lord saw every devotee
appeared to him as his own life. And every devotee perceived himself as the Lord's dearest friend. The Supreme Lord whom the Vedas always seek, he affectionately embraced each and every one of his devotees. Each and every one. He always went with Lord Nityananda. Chaitanya and Nityananda were never apart. Although Lord Nityananda always remained in the womb of a child, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested different wombs, many different wombs. And like bumblebees at the Lord's feet, the devotees saw, according to their own destinies, they saw the Lord manifest his form of Matsya, of Korma, of Varaha, of Amana, or the Srinivasa. Some days, accepting the mood of the gopis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be unaware whether it was day or night. The Lord thus enjoyed pastimes with his servants, and he manifested the glories of devotion to Lord Krishna. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My brothers, please hear this, for it is the best of all advice. Why should our nights be wasted in false and useless activities? From now on, every night we should gather together and sing of Lord Hari's auspicious names. By chanting the Lord's names together, we will be plunged in the sacred Ganga of pure devotional service." By chanting and hearing the holy names of Krishna, the entire world can become delivered. Therefore, the holy name should become our only treasure. Hearing these words, the Vaishnavas all became joyful. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to manifest his Sankirtan pastimes. And in this way, he began the Sankirtan movement. At night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed kirtan in the home of Sri Vas Thakur. On some nights, the kirtan was in Chandrasekhar's home. And accompanied by his countless servants, every night, Lord Chaitanya would dance. And every night he roared the names of Lord Hari, and hearing this roar, the universe broke apart. Simply by hearing kirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lost his awareness of the external world. In this condition, he would fall to the ground. When the Lord fell again and again to the ground seemed to break again and again. Everyone became afraid. And seeing the Lord's delicate body violently fall, Mother Shakti would close her eyes. And she would think, "Oh, Govinda, Govinda." And although the Lord would fall in an ecstatic trance of love for Krishna, Mother Shakti, overcome with maternal love, she would experience great unhappiness. With words choked with emotion, Mother Sachi earnestly prayed, "Oh Lord Krishna, please be merciful and give me this boon. Give me this benediction. Let me not be aware when Vishwambar falls down. Oh Lord Krishna, please be merciful to me in this way. Although he is filled with bliss, and although he feels no pain, still I will be very happy to remain unaware of his constantly falling to the earth." and knowing the desire within his mother's heart, Lord Chaitanya happily granted that form. Therefore, whenever the Lord performs Sankirtana, chanting Lord Hari's holy names, Shachi Devi entered an ecstatic trance and remained completely unaware of the external world. There was no stopping the Lord's ecstatic and blissful chanting and dancing. Surrounded by his devotees, he chanted Krishna's names day and night. Sometimes the Lord would manifest his true identity as the Supreme Person, and at other times he would weep, saying aloud, I am the Lord's servant. Oh my brothers, listen attentively, please. In the countless universes, there is nothing to be compared to Lord Chaitanya's display of ecstatic love. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance, the devotees would blissfully sing. On Ekadasis, Lord Chaitanya, the life of the world, would chant Lord Hari's name and dance. And from the courtyard of fortunate Srivas would rise the auspicious chanting of Gopala, 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 Gopala. And different groups of devotees would sweetly chant. Srivas Pandit led the singing in one group, Makunda led the singing in another, and Govinda led the singing in the third. And as they all sang, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, and powerful Nityananda, and as Mahaprabhu was dancing, he circumambulated the Lord. Unseen by anyone, Advaita Charya took the dust from the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Lord Chaitanya sang, Gadadhar and the other devotees became agitated with love, and their eyes filled with tears. The word Govinda resounded in the four directions as Sachi's son danced in ecstasy. Overcome with love, the Lord's associates chanted the names of Hari. Hari.
Through the Vishnu Antaka Bhagavad Gita, Kaur explains
when he landed upon the council of the weight of the universe, council died. And Krishna didn't have to land on the hard ground. And Krishna was surprised how easily council had been killed, because he was so angry at Kamsa for his atrocious deeds. Kamsa lied down on the ground. He was dead. But no one in the audience, none of the people watching, would say anything. Because although Kamsa's eyes remained open without blinking, they had seen Kamsa previously not blink his eyes out of fear of Krishna. So they weren't sure that he was dead. And then Krishna dragged him around the wrestling arena like a lion drags an elephant that he had killed. And then, when everyone was sure he was dead, I heard His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj tell a little village pastime, saying that once in a village there was a cousin, and when his dog died, a whole village went to the funeral. And then soon after, the cousin died, and no one went to his So sometimes Mahaprabhu in his ecstasies would assume the weight of the universe, and no one had the power to lift him. And sometimes he became lighter than a piece of cotton, and the devotees happily carried him around on their shoulders. They were walking happily, carrying Mahaprabhu upon their shoulders in the courtyard. And when the Lord would faint in ecstasy, the frightened devotees began to chant, "Hari, Hari, 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 Hari." Awaken him from his ecstasy, because it had appeared there was no life in his body. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole body would tremble, and his teeth would chatter like a child's teeth in the winter. Sometimes the Ganga personified herself would flow from his body in the form of perspiration. Sometimes his body burned with fever and dry up the sandalwood paste that was anointing it. Sometimes Mahaprabhu would sigh so deeply that everyone would flee to one side of the courtyard. Sometimes Mahaprabhu ran to catch the feet of the devotees, and the Vaishnavas would flee in the four directions. Sometimes he would rest his back against Lord Nityananda's body, and he would lift his feet and look at everyone and smile. And understanding this hint, all the devotees would plunder the priceless jewel of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet. And Dr. Charles would touch Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet, and he would call out loudly, Oh thief! Now I will rob all your power and glory and your pride. Now it is all mine." During kirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes roll on the ground in ecstasy as the devotees would sing the glories of Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya danced enthusiastically, the earth began to tremble, and the devotees would flee in fear. And the Lord danced sweetly and gracefully. He looked just like Nanda's son, who was is your destiny. And when he roared like millions of lions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kindly protected his devotees' eardrums. And when he walked, sometimes his feet did not touch the ground. Some could see this, and others had no power to see it. Overcome with ecstasy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes stare at the devotees with eyes that were reddish in color. And first frightened and then laughing, the devotees would flee. But Chaitanya would sometimes dance wildly, not knowing either who he was or who were the others. And then, at another moment, he would hold tightly to a devotee's feet, and then the next moment, he would climb upon that same devotee's head. And one moment, he would approach someone, embrace them, and weep. And at the next moment, he would climb up on that devotee's shoulders. Sometimes he would act like a restless child, imitate the sounds of musical instruments. He would make his feet dance, and then he would laugh mischievously. Then, thinking himself a child, he would crawl around on his knees. For 3 hours, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once assumed the posture of a threefold bending handsome Krishna. Enwrapped in his meditation, the Lord then began to play his flute. Thus he revealed the truth that he himself was Krishna and Avinchandra, the moon of Brahma. And then, regaining external consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would again think himself a servant of Krishna, and he would weep. He would place a blade of grass between his teeth, and he yearned to serve all the Vaishnavas. And once, he bent his body in a circle. He made his head touch his own feet, and he stayed in that position for 3 hours. The ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wonderful. Feeling the bliss of chanting his own holy name, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Jagannath Misra, would dance. And then he would loudly roar, and each of his limbs would tremble. He could not stay still. He fell to the ground. And normally his complexion was fair. And now, from moment to moment, his complexion changed from one color to the next. And sometimes before the devotee's eyes, his form appeared doubled. And thinking himself a devotee, the Lord acted in extraordinary ways. Seeing a Vaishnava that he would previously call Prabhu, the Lord would sometimes grab him by his hair and announce, "He is my servant." Seeing a Vaishnava whose feet he previously grasped, the Lord now would push his own feet upon that Vaishnava's chest. And seeing the Lord's blissful pastimes, the devotees placed their arms around each other's necks, and he would weep. The devotees' limbs shone with garlands and sandalwood paste. And tasting the nectar of blissfully singing about Lord Krishna, they forgot about everything else. The sound of redundance, kartals, kanshals, and clapping hands joined with the sound of the holy names, and that sound of the holy names filled the universe and made it break into inauspiciousness. plant far away in the four directions. Vimalocha Chaitanya danced with Nityananda Prabhu. The devotees could hear the charming sounds that came from the soles of their dancing feet hitting the earth. And overcome with ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya could not keep the garland around his neck. He would break his garlands and throw them at the devotees at their feet. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who often happily rode upon Garuda, who often manifested a forearm form holding a kancha of discovered lotus, and who happily often reclined at Ananda Shesha, now thought of himself as his own servant. Now in the ecstasy of devotional service to himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rolled in the dust and he wept. Enjoying the happiness of being his own servant, he forgot the happiness he enjoyed in Vaikuntha. And he who often enjoyed the happiness of gazing at Goddess Lakshmi's face now accepted the mood of separation from the Lord. Raising his face and his arms, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wept. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is served by Shiva, Narada, and all the demigods and sages, now renounced his supreme power and opulence, and now he acts as his own devotee, as a servant of the Lord. Then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, rejecting all happiness, unlimited happiness, he now places a blade of grass between his teeth, and he begs for devotional service. And thinking of himself as a servant of the Lord, he dances, he danced as the beautiful sound of the holy names filled the four directions. Then, Advaita Charita, after hearing the holy names of Krishna sweetly sung, he entered an ecstatic trance. He placed the great blade of grass between his teeth. He approached Lord Chaitanya. He moved his eyebrows, knitting them back and forth, and he began to dance. And seeing Advaita Charita's devotional ecstasy, the devotees became frightened. Nityananda Giridhar simply laughed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the life of the three worlds, symptoms of ecstasy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited continued and had no end. He manifested symptoms of ecstasy. Notice that they are symptoms of ecstasy. Symptoms manifesting from his internal mood in relationship to Krishna, in separation from Krishna. No one had ever seen or heard of such symptoms before, nor had anyone even read about them in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes his body became stiff and motionless like a pillar, and no one had the power to bend it even the distance of half a sesame seed. But at other times, his body became soft like butter, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed to have no bones in his body. Sometimes his body seemed to be multiplied by two or three. Sometimes it appeared to be slender. Sometimes he moved around staggering as if he was intoxicated. And sometimes he laughed and happily rocked his body back and back and forth, and looking at the Vaishnavas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wrapped in ecstasy, called out the names that they had in their previous births. He called out Balaram, Shiva, Sukadeva, Narada, Pranaya. Lakshmi, Brahma, Urush. And looking at each other, the Lord thus looking at each one as he did this, the Lord thus revealed the true identity of each of the devotees. After me filling their eyes, the Lord's servants gazed at Lord Chaitanya's wonderful dancing and his wonderful ecstatic love for Krishna. Day and night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance in the midst of his devotees, and no one became tired. Everyone had attained a spiritual body, and no one knew how time was passing. As in the great rasa dance pastime, an entire yuga passed, though the gopis thought of it as half a moment only. In the same way, by the inconceivable power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the fortunate servants of the Lord thought that the yuga had passed, that passed was only 1 year. And in this day, in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance.
Hare Krishna. If there's more, bring it, he said, again and again.
but he ate various kinds of sweet sundaes, sugar candy, and foods made with grains. He drank fresh coconut juice. He ate bananas, chip rice, fried rice, eating everything. He again and again demanded, bring more! In a bind-blink, he ate what 200 men could eat. Then he asked, what more is there? Bring! This is not anything! And always became frightened and approached the Lord. They folded their hands. Then fearfully, they said, oh Lord, what do we know of your glories? Countless universes rest in your belly. How can we please you without small gifts? And the Lord said, my devotees' offerings are not small. Bring more. Bring more at once. What more do you have? The devotees said, oh Lord, please hear us. Only some betel nuts mixed with camphor remain. And the Lord said, don't hesitate. The devotees became happy. And as they brought the betel nuts, their fears fled far away. Each devotee carried in his hands as many betel nuts as possible. And seeing this, the Lord laughed. Then Nityananda Prabhu held a chakra above Lord Chaitanya's head. And facing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Charita offered prayers with folded hands. The other devotees, frightened, they also folded their hands. They bowed their heads, and in their hearts, they meditated upon the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone who feels happiness on hearing of these powers and opulence of the Lord will certainly see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu face to face. However deeply one is advanced in spiritual life, to that extent he will understand these pastimes. More than that is not possible without the Lord's express command. Ask for benedictions, Lord Chaitanya said, and he looked directly in the face of Advaita Charita. It is because of you that I have descended to this world. Looking at each devotee, and laughing, the Lord demanded, ask. And in this way, the Lord revealed his powers, and he revealed his opulence. And gazing at him with fixed and focused eyes, the devotees floated in an ocean of bliss. No one can understand Lord Chaitanya's inconceivable pastimes. At one moment he reveals his power and opulence, and at the next moment he falls unconscious. And then, when he would return to external consciousness, he would begin to weep. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood would shift suddenly, and he would experience himself as an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Seeing the Vaishnavas, he held tightly to their necks, and he would weep. He would address them, oh, I, as friend, I'm bewildered by Maya. Ordinary people have no power to understand the truth about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who but the Lord's servants have the power to understand that truth? Seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's nature and pastimes, the devotee smiled and said, Lord Narayan has descended to this world. For some time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat on the singhasana on the altar, and then he fainted in ecstasy. He fell to the ground. He showed no signs of being alive. Looking at him, all of his associates wept. The devotees thought, oh, the Lord has left us. He has abandoned us. If our Lord is this cruel to us, then we will also leave our bodies. And knowing the devotee's thoughts and his fears, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the crisp jewel of he who knows everything, we return to external consciousness, loud crying out the names of Krishna. A great tumult of bliss arose amongst the devotees. Overwhelmed, the devotees did not know in what direction they were standing or facing. And in this way, a great ocean of bliss overflooded the town of Paradis. There, he who was the king of Vaikuntha enjoyed pastimes of tasting the nectar of spiritual love. Whoever hears these sacred narrations will find that his thoughts always rest in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. The two moons, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, are my life and soul. And I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories.
Thank you.
Visit to Vrindavan and Mayapur by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so Shamasunda, do you like Vrindavan? Do you like 24-hour kirtan? I thought so. Hare Krishna. Okay, so we want to get absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna.